from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to...
what are you doing to Petra's talking? Stop it. Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Bob Brown with me, Eric Wiltshire, Lee Banks, Rachel Brunson and Tom Arms, the Money Man. He's back with us. We've got him. We can't have him lying around doing nothing, for goodness sake. Did you wash your hands?
You didn't
wash your hands.
I washed my hands. Actually, I didn't. I used the bacterial
wet wipes
lotion. No, just the gooey lotion.
Oh, right.
What did you do with your hands that needed to have them washed afterwards?
Come on the radio.
All I can say is that I was thinking about Lee without his banana hammock.
Ah, right. Yes.
My
okay.
Banana hammock.
We move along. Aisha King's father's been on Facebook and Twitter and on YouTube with an amazing video. And when he was reunited? Yeah, reunited, I suppose, is the best word, in Spain with his son after he was arrested. His son just turned to his father and said, "I love you." And I think that kind of sums it all up, how some people in authority have the brains of an amoeba.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the brains of an amoeba. Because they don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to explain to people. They have no compassion for the families around. And all this guy was doing was saying, look, hang on a minute. We don't think you're fixing this problem of this brain tumour. There's a place in the Czech Republic, which isn't that far away from me, that can do this job. And, you know, everything could be marvellous. And yet they have no common sense.
Do you know what baffles me? People with these, especially children, with these illnesses, and they have to travel. There's a lot of them in Australia, actually. Little kids that have to travel as far. And, you know, Uncle Lee, tell everybody how far away Australia is.
Whoever decides to build Australia over there is an absolute madman. 24 hours it took me to get there.
Really? So they're putting these little kiddies on planes to get treatment in places like the United States at a galactic amount of money. Mm. Places like Sweden, places like Germany. And it's terrible. We live in a world where we're fairly well advanced, for goodness sakes. You know, what is going on? And the pollies and the I can't say what I was about to say.
No.
The bleep, bleep, bleep.
Yes.
Make it so difficult for these families, and they really do need a swift kick.
Well, I think what Eric said is spot on, though, that really it's an attitude which is growing in Britain, and it's affecting the NHS at all sorts of levels, where in Britain you can no longer complain. People will just refuse to serve you or handle whatever your problem is if you complain in a vociferous way about something. And basically what happened here was that Breton, his wife, Dan, actually complained about the treatment that this child was receiving, that they thought they could forget better treatment elsewhere.
Yeah.
The powers that be then reacted badly to that, so badly indeed that they invoked an Act of Parliament which ended up in a manhunt across Europe and with the parents going to jail and the child being abandoned.
I think you're a little bit off base there, Lee. I think it's a bit more complicated,
Tom,
because they are Jehovah's Witnesses. And I think
I genuinely don't think the Jehovah's Witness line's got anything to do with it. That's not been
used
in the press
for 4 days.
No, because
Jehovah's Witnesses don't get on well with the NHS. And the reason they don't get on well with the NHS,
the Jehovah's Witness line has been abandoned by all newspapers because we don't even know if it's actually true anymore. But that's the problem with that argument.
Well, go on, Tom, carry on.
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, refuse blood transfusions.
Right.
Mm.
And various other medical treatments. And so a lot of hospitals will, the moment they know that someone is a Jehovah's Witness or a child belongs to a Jehovah's Witness family, will seek a care order for that family.
Without thinking.
As an immediate act to protect the child. And I think that's what probably... They didn't make the mental leap that these Jehovah's Witnesses, weren't quite in that same category.
Mm.
And And having started that ball rolling, and it was mental laziness on the part of the hospital concerned and the NHS, but having started that ball rolling, it was very difficult for them to stop it. And it was stupid. I agree. It was absolutely stupid. The good thing that's coming out of it, of course, is that as a result of all this publicity, the family now has tons and tons of money to pay for any treatment anywhere in the world.
Anywhere, yeah. But they shouldn't have to, and they shouldn't have to.
No, but I do think we have to point out that the Jehovah's Witness line in this story is a complete misnomer.
Forget the Jehovah's Witness.
That's what I'm saying, exactly what I'm saying. Forget it.
There is another aspect of this which I've seen firsthand with Brits coming here, even people from British Telecom coming to Slovakia, and that is where you have centres of excellence on the mainland of Europe which are better than the NHS.
You're getting that all around the world.
Yep, and the problem is
becoming the place of hip replacements.
Yes. I watched that movie, the Best Golden Marigold Hotel. That lovely lady went and had her hip replacement there because she couldn't get it done.
I don't think
pounds in India. In a five star hotel.
Yeah, but the thing is, Tom, I don't think the NHS has got its head round the fact that, in actual fact, from October, you can fly from Luton to here for, I won't nick Lee's headline for it, but a little money, very little money, something around £40, come to a hospital here, get fixed up in a European centre of excellence, which would actually save the NHS money in the long term, but they won't admit they can't do it.
The NHS has fallen apart in Britain. There is no such thing as the NHS really anymore. It's a complete misnomer that the NHS actually does pay. People go into hospital now in the UK to die. There's no doubt about it.
I'm a big fan of the NHS. It has saved my life. It has saved my daughter's life.
Yeah.
I think it is...
There's an exception to
it. I think
rule,
it has its problems. I think its aftercare is not as good as it should be. But it's...
I don't know what the NHS is really as an Australian, but you know, I know that from our discussions on previous shows and some of the shoddy treatment that people have received, it sounds like it's the no health service.
Well, I think you're right, and I think the problem is that you have to look at it quite seriously. Everybody has good things to say about the National Health Service in the UK, but actually very few people talk about the fact that people go into hospital and end up with a disease which ultimately kills them. The centres of excellence that the NHS used to have no longer exist, and it's not a free health service anymore either. It's a damn expensive health service.
I think the summary is: if the health service wants to catch up, the NHS, I'll tell you what, guys, come to Slovakia. I'll walk you round the different centres we have. If you can mirror those, and as Lee knows, I won't go into all the details of my near-death experience, genuinely, and various other things. If you have those good old-fashioned services, you would have a better health service in the UK. And I want it to be better. I'm upset it's not as good. I'm not just criticising it. I'm saying time to make it better.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, we move on. And for those amongst us who won't be catching up, page four.
Excuse me, I would like you to publicly acknowledge where you learnt that from.
You.
Thank you.
You're welcome. A thing described as a fatberg.
Oh, God, this is terrible.
Sounds like the inside of my stomach.
Yes. If you're eating your lunch, can I suggest you stop now? There's this thing called a fatbug, which apparently is a mass of festering fat food and sanitary products which threatened to bust the sewers in West London. It was bigger than a Boeing 747 jet aeroplane.
Now that is a clogged artery, ladies and gentlemen. I want the NHS to have a crack at that.
Jimmy
one.
Oliver must have something to say about that.
Yeah. He'd go straight in there and he'd pour it all over a little primary school and say, "You see, kids, you see what you're eating?" And then give him a lettuce.
Right. Well, apparently, the operations manager said most fatbergs are formed by people pouring cooking oil down the drain and flushing wet wipes down the toilet.
That's so naughty.
This is a terrible story. Common sense
must prevail, surely. I mean, I remember.
You're upset, aren't you?
I am outraged, and I'll tell you why. My granny
outraged at Melbourne.
Outraged in Melbourne, yes, that's so true. I'm enraged. I'm outraged. I'm beside myself with fury. My granny. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. I used to go around and spend a lot of time with my granny, and she was a wonderful woman. And on Sunday, we used to go around for a roast.
Okay.
And she used to use real old school fat dripping to cook the roast. She used to put it in a jar, and she said never ever. And I was 7, and I'm 43 now. Do the maths.
Yeah.
And she said, never pour it down the sink. It clogs the drains.
Yes.
And she always said that. When wet ones came to the fore, the wet wipe, she said to me, never flush that down a toilet. It'll clog the drains. And then your grandfather will have to unclog the drains and all hell will break loose. My granny told me that when I was a child. Now, come on.
Yes.
Well, the thing is, in the UK, though, we have the world's greatest drainage system.
Clearly, we do.
It was a Victorian splendor.
It was, and the incredible thing is that it still works perfectly today. But what it was not designed to do was to use was to handle the kind of stuff that we actually put down the drain.
So
anywhere else in the world,
disposal.
like in Spain. The sewage systems here are incredible. We actually have to top up the sewage system outside the building with bottles of water every couple of hours when the weather's particularly high, because it dries them out, and you have to put water in to seal them again. It's incredible. But to stuff that kind of thing down your loo and down your other bits and things is just amazing, and it is ludicrous. But equally, you've got to look at the facts of what we've got right around in the sea, islands of paper of plastic bags and waste material are forming islands in the sea. It's because we don't know what to do with the waste products.
Well,
I've got
one.
Send it to Australia.
Yeah.
You said all the criminals there.
Big empty country.
Well.
Exactly. Yeah. Hold on, guys. Most important. Michael's on the chat room, and Michael says it's simple. People are just being plain lazy. If they recycled stuff properly, we would never have these problems in the first place.
But then you've got to look at the fact that the councils who actually make you sort your rubbish into different kind of bins so that it can be recycled, actually then don't go ahead and recycle it. They just dump it into altogether on a dump somewhere in the car. There is no recycling happens in the UK.
Oh, well, we move on. A council in the UK has told undertakers that they can only...
Don't flush corpses. Don't flush corpses.
They can only cremate one obese corpse every day on health and safety grounds. Really?
Incredible. This is the most incredible.
That's it, I'm being buried.
Don't be worried. It'll be all right. We'll get ready another way.
Yeah, we'll find a way, Tom. Don't worry about it, mate. But, I mean, South Lanarkshire,
doesn't it?
It does.
A fire shortage in Britain? What on earth is going on?
I suppose the fact is, if you set a 21-stone man on fire, it'll take him days to go out. But
I couldn't understand that. I mean, is this back? Is this related to the fat in the sewers business again? I mean,
yes. They were flushing.
I mean, it's all going to drip out, and it has to be put somewhere.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the crematorium, the heat that it requires to actually incinerate a body within, 4 or 5 hours is very, very, very hot. Mm. Not that I know this from personal experience. Watch a lot of Crime Channel.
yes.
But, you know, is there a fire shortage in Britain? What is going on?
Nobody really understands this story because
this
nobody's made it clear. And what it is, it's a health and safety issue where they used to say that you had to cremate fat people before 11 a.m. at the crematorium in Blantyre. And now that's moved on because the size of the coffins, etc., and everything else that goes together with it can go up to 45 stone. So now they've decided that actually, because of the build-up of the waste materials within the incinerators, then the time it takes to clean it and where they've got to put it out, you can only cremate one fat person a day.
Ridiculous.
I think this is probably the most incredibly ridiculous and yet telling story that's come out of the UK this week.
So to combat the health and safety issue, they leave corpses lying around in a queue, waiting. Number four, it's time to be torched. Number four, you know what? What? It's like getting your deli meat at the supermarket.
Inside, absolutely.
Yeah. Right, there's a silver lining. Obviously, money to be made by crematorium manufacturers. We need more crematoriums.
Very true. We move on to Scotland. Ed Miliband's been up to Scotland this week. Tom will enjoy this, being a political commentator. Has made a plea to Labour voters in Scotland. Why has he made an absolutely humongous plea to voters in Scotland? Because he's got to. He's desperate.
If he wants to win the general election, he needs those Labour voters. He needs those Labour seats from Scotland.
Otherwise, he's doomed.
Yes, absolutely.
Explain, Tom.
Well, I can't remember exactly how many Labour seats they have in Scotland, but there's only one Conservative MP, and he only just got that one seat because in the previous Parliament there were no Conservatives in Scotland.
Right.
Labour, if it's going to win the general election, has to win those seats in Scotland. Or hold on to those seats in Scotland,
right?
Otherwise, it's in serious trouble. There's also the issue of what happens if they get independence. Will those will the people in Scotland be allowed to vote in a general election? Technically, they will still be part of the UK because there's going to be a transitional period.
Mm.
But what happens if they elect MPs and then the Parliament carries on after the Scotland is fully independent after a transitional period? Will those MPs have to leave Westminster, thus creating a constitutional crisis? Because the Scottish or the MPs elected from Scotland will have to leave Parliament to go back to Scotland.
So he's up there not to keep the union together, but to keep his job.
Well, let's just say he has to keep the union together to keep his job.
Right. Marvellous. Well,
yeah, it's a very strange thing, this Scottish thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
See, a lot of people say that that really the general sort of population of Scotland wouldn't have anything to lose if Scotland did get independence. But there was a report came out, I think it was this week, from the Institute of Fiscal Studies, that said there would be a $6 billion hole in public finances if Scotland went independent, and that would actually have a devastating effect on people who live there. You know, it's like they've had the
Actually, Lee, you missed the point. That it would be the low income people that would be devastated.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
the
rich lot wouldn't make a
difference.
I can't remember who said it, but someone said when people vote, they said it's the economy, dummy. Well, this is one of those instances where it's not.
Yeah, okay.
It's the heart.
We're going to move
on.
The
heart over the head seems to be winning at the moment.
Right.
And it's gone from a 15% lead for the no campaigners.
Yep.
To a 6-4% lead.
I know, it's a bit concerning. Anyway, we've got to move on. Lots more stories to go through. I'm going to start the next one like this, as in football chant. Do it, do it, do it. We should dunk Lukashenko. What a numpty you are, sir. A Belarus boy may be fined for daring the president up there, Lukashenko, to an ice bucket challenge. He will be fined. The police have been involved. The school has been involved because this little kid, Dmitry, has had the disastrous thought that he would have some fun at the expense of the president. Well, if he can't take the ice bucket challenge, I don't think you should be a president, Mr. Lukashenko.
It's a dangerous thing, this ice bucket challenge, you know.
People have died. The guy who invented it drowned.
Yeah.
You what? Tell me that story.
The guy, there's a 27-year-old guy. I wasn't actually here this a couple of weeks ago when this story broke. There's a co-founder of the ice bucket challenge, and he, 27-year-old guy, and he drowned a couple of weeks ago.
Not he doing dived the ice bucket off a challenge.
No, he dived off a platform and drowned. And I thought that's just
I hate to break this
tragic
to you, but someday we'll all die.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's true, but this was just really bizarre.
But at least he could have been kept on ice.
Well, anyway,
he could have died in a car crash and not with water.
I think
there's this woman in Southport who
broke her neck.
She broke her neck. She was poured the bucket over her head, screaming because she was ice cold, ran in, and of course she's soaking wet and her feet are wet and she's barefooted, runs into the house, slips with her wet feet on the floor and breaks her neck.
Not nice. I have to say at this point, sorry to I'm interjecting. Because I have to say, congratulations to those that took the ice bucket challenge last Friday, which was a national day here. And we had a British bar set up at this special event on the football ground over in Velkilovnitsa, where we plied the local community with traditional English ale. And it was interesting to watch somebody...
You see, when you say it was...
What?
Traditional English ale, it was India Pale Ale.
No, it wasn't really IPA. It was a special brewery jobby.
So it was Slovak beer.
Slovak people love throwing water.
I've been to a brewery in Slovakia.
No, it came from Staffordshire.
Did it? Indeed. What was it called then?
Water at
I wish I could remember. It was something Premier it was called. And it was English 5% proof. And the Slovak people really were going, started off with this funny look on their face because they'd never had beer like that before. And then they kind of had one or two and thought, hey, this is feeling quite good. So they had a few more. And the manager of a well-known venue, which I won't mention, was very sensible. He came down on his push bike to the event and he tried to get home on his push bike. Yeah. Unfortunately, after two times falling off, we poured him into the front seat and put his bike in the boot to take him home. We didn't wait to hear what his missus said afterwards. But anyway, all of those at Trevis Car Manufacturing Park, congratulations on what you did. You raised loads of money, which is really cool. And I hope there wasn't too many headaches on the Saturday as we.
You just love the throwing water at people in Slovakia.
I did.
You do it all the time. There's a national day for throwing water at chicks. What's going on with that?
We do that at Easter.
I know, but the throwing water thing in Slovakia, it's a sickness. You guys have an addiction to it.
No. It ties in with the next story beautifully. Because at Easter, we throw water out. We dunk the girls. If we're kind, we dump them in a warm water bath. And then we smack their derrieres with sticks.
Yes.
It's disgusting. You should all be arrested.
Should. It's primitive.
No, it's not. Anyway, staying with that concept, Saudi men may be rushing out of the country to get married soon. But why? Because there's a new law coming out in Saudi.
Yeah, about driving licenses.
Yes.
Because women are not allowed to drive.
But they're going to have to.
Well, no, but the law prevents women from driving. Yes. And so that means the men have to drive them. So if they don't have a driving license, they're not very good husbands, are they?
No.
And the women divorce them.
No.
Absolutely.
You may marry my daughter if you have a goat and a sack of wheat. It's like, you must show me your driver's license.
Yes.
Yeah.
So me thinks that the only way they're going to get out of this, because can you imagine how long it's going to take to get a woman through a driving test in Saudi?
Settle down.
Because the only way...
Jermaine Greer comes out.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, no, don't compare me with that bra burner. She's nuts. She's out of her gourd.
No, oh, my word.
I don't think that's a terrible thing to say about poor old Jermaine. She's lovely.
She's got worse things to say about everything. Nah, she's a reptile. She should be made into a handbag. anyway. First in line at the crematorium when she goes.
Right, okay.
I do have to say, I don't think she moisturises, yeah.
Right, exactly. Settle down, boys and girls, as the lady says. We move on quickly to squeeze a few more stories. Gentlemen, by the way, you may wish to go now. We're on top of page 9, chaps. You may wish to go and make a cup of tea now. This will only take 2 minutes. A Californian woman has been convicted of severing her husband's...
She bobotized him.
Yes, she did. She, in a big way. And throwing his...
Gentleman's sausage.
Thank you. Into a kitchen waste disposal unit. Oh!
Wow. Not about throwing things down the sink, but you shouldn't.
This
happens a lot in the United States. Women are really very aggressive.
Anyway, she's been sent to prison for life. Flipping
well, she should. I think you she know, should. But you can't do that. That's no.
Linda Johnson's wife, Lady Bird.
Yes.
Her family name was Bobbitt.
Uh-oh.
Oi, there you go. He was fairly emasculated.
We run on quickly with a couple of minutes to go. There's been lots of rumours and the leaks have continued as the iSheep watch has been announced, which will be sort of a watch that talks to your iPhone 6. Equally, there have been people out there queuing outside the flagship place in New York. As
I don't know. Do you get a concert ticket with it or something? Why camp out?
I don't know.
It's Harry Potter.
Yeah, the iSheep phone people are already queuing in the States to get their iPhone 6. Why? I have no idea.
5 minutes after they say the battery on the 5 needs to be
recharged. Does anyone remember that that cartoon, The Jetsons?
Yes.
I mean, yes, I love
that. Are we living
show?
In The Jetsons now?
I think
yes,
we could be.
We are.
And what was her name?
Only on the ground.
Oh, I say bring back the Flintstones.
George Jetson.
Well, no. George Jetson. What was Mummy's name?
His wife, Judy.
Judy. Yep. Judy was played by...
Wife Jane, daughter Judy, and Leroy was the son.
Yes, and...
And Astro was the dog.
What's the very strong connection between the Jetsons and the Flintstones?
Hanna-Barbera.
It was Hanna-Barbera, but more so.
Same production stable.
It was the same production stable, but the person who played Mummy Jetson and Wilma Flintstone was the very lovely Jean Van der Pyl. Same woman. There you go. Jean Van der Pyl. Yeah.
Aw, that's so sweet.
She was, she is very, very sweet to talk to. Lovely, 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 lovely lady. And finally, as we've got less than a minute to go, the complete kerfuffle about e-cigarettes may have been solved as a new report that's come out from a London research think tank says that up to 54,000 premature deaths could be prevented each year in the UK if all smokers switch to e-cigarettes.
They've stopped the import of the oil of those cigarettes into Australia. Tony Abbott has stopped the import until he can figure out how much to tax it.
And the cigarette companies have come back with this incredible fight, saying that e-cigarettes will actually lead you on to taking hard drugs. How they got there when their product kills so many people is just amazing.
Right, Rachel, say goodbye.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Say goodbye, Lee.
Bye bye.
Say goodbye, Tom.
Squeak, squeak. I think that's what a rabbit says.
We'll see Tom soon on Postcard from Pop Run. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great week till next week. We'll be back same place, same time, same channel with the usual mix of, allegedly news.